ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports, brought to you by the WBO, the World Boxing Organization.
Pedro, let me tell you congratulations on your long time in radio, you are your team, and for your ratings, man. I was reading about that. I'm very impressed with you, Pedro.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
I don't want to predict this fight, but, you know, I'm going to promise that I can give a good fight, you know, to make people happy, and I just do my best.
Pedro Fernandez.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another, but I'm going to get the job done.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Live, emanating from the Sports Byline Studios in the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but never duplicated, celebrating 37 years of radio in the middle of this month. That's right. The middle of September 2020 will mark 37 years of radio presence for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. So if you've been around for me for that long, some of you have, I kid you not. If you've been around that long, well, you know what's happening. If you're new to the family, welcome to the show. Of course, this is the longest-running fight show in history. My name is Pedro Fernandez, an award-winning writer, former four-time Golden Glove champion. Back in the days when the Golden Gloves meant something, yeah, back in the days. Anyway, started a little show on my age here. We got boxing tonight, obviously, on television, both on Fox TV and, of course, ESPN. And I got to tell you, I'm excited about the fact that boxing's coming back and fights are being made. That's right, Bob Arum, promoter extraordinaire, what's he, 87 years old, 88 years old, of course, the marijuana king down there from Las Vegas, that is the king of cannabis himself, Mr. Bob Arum, former U.S. attorney with the Kennedy administration back in 1960. He was the United States attorney with President John F. Kennedy. His boss was Robert F. Kennedy, I kid you not. Anyway, Arum, promoter of the year, no doubt about that. It hasn't been a great year, but he's putting on fights. He's got, of course, Timo and Lomo going the 17th, but he's also got some other fights going on the 31st, Halloween, of course. Naonoi Inoue, pound for pound, maybe one of the best fighters in the world. Definitely one of the best. Is he the best, per se? Who knows? Anyway, taking on Jason Maloney, 21-1. This fight's going to rock. Of course, it'll be on ESPN. That'll be from the MGM bubble on Halloween night. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Talking boxing, MMA. Guess what? The guy that fought both Mike Tyson, George Foreman, Dave Jacobs will be here at 20 minutes past the hour. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Everybody plays a fool sometimes. There's no exception to the rule.
Here comes the decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right. The World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent, sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOBoxing.com. That's WBOBoxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
We have done it! We have a new heavyweight champion in the world!
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
I think that was 1989. I was interviewing George Foreman in Galveston, Texas for FAN Sports, I think it was. And bottom line is, George was rocking and rolling, of course, on his way to a shot at the heavyweight championship. He would get that against Evander Holyfield and lose a 12-round decision. Of course, come back later and knock out Michael Moore to win the World Heavyweight Championship. Now, I bring up Foreman and I bring up Tyson because we'll bring in David Jaco later. That's right, Dave Jaco. Of course, Dave fought them both. So the internet question this week, and I saw it all over the place, different internet websites, who hit harder? Mike Tyson or George Foreman? I guess we're going to find out when Dave Jaco checks in about 22 minutes past the hour. Check it. Fights tonight, of course, rock and roll in the WBO 130-pound crown on the line. James Herring, 21-2 with 10 KOs, been stopped once, taking on Jonathan Oquendo of Puerto Rico, 31-6, 19 stops. They both have a guy in common, Lamont Roach. Of course, that's who Herring beat in his last fight, and that's who Oquendo lost a decision two fights back. Yordi Ergas, one of the Cuban exiles, 25-4, 12 KOs, taking on Abel Ramos, 26-3, a couple of draws and 20 KOs. Of course, those guys are going to do their thing tonight on Fox TV. Listen, ESPN, people don't have the app. Some people say to me, I don't have the app. You got to get the ESPN. I'm not a big fan of apps or anything, that kind of good stuff, but The ESPN app is a fair price. I think for $9.99 a month now, if you buy it, I think the Zone thing's been charging me $20 a month or $10 a month, and they haven't given me a live fight in a long time, or a live fight worthy, of course, until last week when Dillian White got knocked out. I take that back, as a fortnight ago. When Dillian White got knocked out, I got knocked out cold. Of course, Dillian White got knocked out cold by Alexander Povetkin. It was like the knockout of the year thus far. I mean, he was cruising along. He dropped Povetkin a couple times in the round prior. And then before you know it, Povetkin bobbed to the left, stuck an uppercut right up between Dillian White's gloves and caught him right on the chin. He never saw the punch coming. He was out. He could have put him in a casket on the way down. That's how dead he was, I kid you not. Of course, he's calling afterwards. It's not a fluke when you hit somebody that. It's not a fluke. There's no such thing as a lucky punch. If a punch connects, it's not. If you threw it and it connects, that's not a lucky punch. Anyway, lots of fights on television, I no doubt about that. Check it out, ESPN and Foxy. Of course, the world of the UFC is rocketing and rolling as well. Can I say, of course, Overeem, Alistair Overeem. I call him Overeem. Overeem, of course, that was the guy that ran out in the press conference a few years ago when they told him, hey, guess what? We want to take a steroid test, a random steroid test. He said, and he ran out. And then he drove around Las Vegas for about 2-3 hours in his car, sweat up a little bit, came back, took the test, and failed. No surprise there. Bottom line is, there is 517 pounds in the octagon tonight when these guys hook it up in the main event. I'm talking about Walt Harris and Alistair Overeem tonight. Of course, UFC Fight Night 176 coming to you from Las Vegas. And, of course, they've got their little Apex Center there, and Bob Arum's got the bubble going at the MGM Grand. So, I mean, they are improvising during this coronavirus season or whatever you want to call it, pandemic. And we don't think it's going to be over anytime soon. So this is going to be the future of boxing as far as non-crowds are concerned. And somebody said to me that they were talking about doing a crowd. They wanted to do a fight. A promoter, I know, wanted to do a fight in Russia because he didn't think there would be any fight restrictions on the crowds there. And I said to him, why would you want to throw a fight money? Money. That's what it all boiled down to, money. I mean, he was willing to pack a bunch of people into an arena to make money. Couldn't do it here in the United States, so he was thinking about doing it abroad. I kid you not. And he was thinking about Russia. So I guess Russia's the key to, they don't believe it. They got a big coronavirus thing going over there. Listen, until we got this thing in control, and we don't have it under control, we're losing like 1,000 people a day, and it's going to go up to a couple of 3 to 4, as I predicted about 6 months ago. But do the math. And until it's over, we're not going to have live fights. As far as live fight routes are concerned, we're not going to have people in movie theaters. We're not going to have people in watching plays, that kind of good stuff. And as far as you hear about this virus is concerned, I talked with an epidemiologist, one of those, blood specialists this week, who I happen to know. And she told me that if you even had a virus ready by November 1st, it would take a year and a half to get it ready after that. So we're probably looking at somewhere in 2022 instead of 2020. I don't know if we keep getting that bad news from the White House or false news or fake news from the White House, but that sort of seems to be the way it goes. You are tuned to Ring Talk. Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Vladimir Hernandez, upset guy. Upset Alfredo Angulo last week, of course. Angulo was supposed to challenge Caleb Plant for the WBA 168-pound crown, I believe. And, of course, Plant didn't make the fight as far as COVID-19, something like that. Anyway, there was some controversy involved, and he didn't make it. Angulo ends up losing a decision to a guy that was like 12-4 in a last-minute put-together fight. Straight up, the last week's fights, of course, we had Arisandi Lara, another Cuban national, winning a 12-round decision over Greg Vendetti. Can't get too impressed with Lara, except he wins rounds. I mean, he wins rounds, but not the kind of guy you want to see again. And speaking of not wanting to see a guy again, man, I was so high on Juan Carlos Ramirez. What happened? He ran into Victor Postal. Now, Postal didn't fight the fight that I thought he could have fought to win. Because I think in order to win, you've got to go out there and get somebody's respect. You've got to get their respect. And he never really got Ramirez's respect regarding punching power is concerned. And if you say, well, Postal can't punch, guess what? You step in and you hit the guy somewhere in his torso hard to where he knows you can hit a little bit and to make him a little bit wary. You don't want him walking in on you like Ramirez was trying to walk down Victor Postal. At the end of the night, I think one judge had it even, but Ramirez won a close decision there. And he is not the 140-pound rage I thought he was. He's talking about, like, wanting to move to 147. He's trying to say that, he hadn't fought in over a year. Yeah, ring rust. Bottom line was, at the end of the night, you did not deliver when it comes to entertainment. You've got to entertain. I mean, what are these guys thinking when they go 12 rounds? When they go 12 pedestrian rounds? When Sean Porter, a fortnight ago, he went 12 rounds, and he was proud of it. Went 12 rounds against a mark, a Stone Cold mark. What I mean by a mark is a guy that, I'm not saying the German wasn't world class. I'm not saying he wasn't world class. I'm just saying he wasn't at a level to where he should be fighting in the main event on television. I mean, he was like green as guacamole. They have guacamole over there in Germany. Anyway, he was green as guacamole, no doubt about that. And Sean Porter went 12 rounds. What did Sean Porter do with that 12 rounds? He didn't impress me. And you don't, he wants to involve himself in pay-per-view fights in the future because that's where the boxing world seems to be going because there will be no live crowds. So you've got to have some pay-per-view fights together. You can't put together a pay-per-view fight coming off that 12-round decision over the German guy. You just can't do it. You can't, and these guys don't think. They don't think marketing. I mean, I don't know what's going on in their minds, but I mean, if you've got a big, big fight on the horizon, you need to shine. Guys don't shine. I never understood it. This is like the guys fighting for the heavyweight championship of the world. How about Buster Douglas gaining like almost 100 pounds after the win over Mike Tyson? What's up with that? Tony Tubbs, forget the name. He gained all kinds of weight before the Mike Tyson fight. What's up with that? Everybody, I mean, it's just the lack of, I guess we'll hear that from Dave Jaco in just a couple of minutes. Of course, I'm talking about guys fighting Mike Tyson because I'm sure Dave went into the fight in shape, but other guys went into the fights against Mike Tyson and George Foreman, this and that, ready to get beat up like lambs being led to slaughter. They weren't ready to fight. They weren't in shape. And yeah, I mean, look at it. Buster Douglas, that fight against Holyfield, good Lord, I told you, I caught him hanging out in the sauna the night before the fight. Take it back. The night before the weigh-in, he was hanging out in the sauna, losing weight, eating California pizzas at the Mirage Hotel. I told you I got that scoop, right? The little guy from the hotel told me, hey, Pedro, guess what's going on in the sauna? What? Well, we just delivered 5 pizzas to the sauna. And I'm thinking, so what? You delivered 5 pizzas? Well, we just delivered them, and Buster Douglas signed for them. I said, what? But yeah, Buster Douglas signed for them. I said, you got to be kidding me. No, so anyway, so I finagled my way into the Mirage sauna, and there was Buster and his people. They left. They fled when they saw me, but there was 5 pizza boxes left behind. Of course, he would go into that fight with Evander Holyfield, grossly overweight, and get knocked out in the third round. It was a terrible, terrible display of a performance by a so-called world heavyweight champion. So Buster Douglas, that was his dog day coming off the win over Mike Tyson. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, back with the guy that fought both Mike Tyson and George Foreman, David Jaco, right after the break on Sports Byline.
Just what do you think of him as a fighter, huh?
His footwork's lousy, he can't counter punch, his timing stinks, and he doesn't breathe properly.
But you like him as a person.
He has a nice smile.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I'm just ready to get it on and crush this guy's skull.
I wanted to do the right thing.
Yeah.
What do you think when somebody says they want to rip your skull off and they're Mike Tyson? Huh? $64,000 question? Another question? How about who hits harder, Mike Tyson or George Foreman? Well, my next guest can answer that question. Actually, I can answer both questions. Talk about Mr. David Jaco. And Dave, how's life treating you, man?
Treating me good, Pedro.
Tell me about this book. You didn't tell me you were an author. You didn't tell me you had a book the last time.
Yeah, well, just a little great read, a little short book called Spontaneous Palooka and Mr. Mom. Story of a man put himself out there for his family to get custody of his kids and get away from her troubled mother, but awesome. It turned out good. You know, Pedro, you know as well as I do, I never made the $1 million, Pedro. I'm like everybody else. I work for a living, but I had a great time and I accomplished what I wanted, meant to do, get custody of my sons, and they're both doing good in life. Both at their own gyms. Don and Sarah said they're doing great. I got four beautiful daughters from my second marriage, 21 to 27. And my baby 2 weeks old got called by Florida A&M up in Tallahassee. She's up there playing volleyball for him on a full scholarship.
Okay, okay. Mike Tyson's fighting again. You interested in coming back to fight Mike Tyson, maybe?
Yeah, I'd love to fight him, man. I could take him now, Pedro.
You could why would you say you could take him now? What's the difference between now and 1986?
Well, because he's owned Sloan. I'm so all I need to do, give me 2 months, at least 8 to 10 weeks to train for him. I can. My boxing skills are better than his.
Ooh. I watched him come up through the amateurs. In fact, I'll never forget the time we were sitting in a hot tub at the Olympic Training Center in Las Vegas, Nevada, and Michael Nunn called him out. I mean, he called Michael Nunn. He said something like, "Your mama this," and Michael Nunn walked across the hot tub and told him to get up and use all kinds of N-words and F-words and that kind of good stuff. And Mike just backed off. I mean, here was Michael Nunn, like 45 pounds lighter. So I said to myself, well, maybe Mike isn't the tiger that he really is. You know what I'm saying, of course? And then once somebody sort of hit him in the face a couple times hard, like Buster Douglas, things sort of changed, huh?
It changed a lot. I mean, they know a give out can come back to you sometimes. And let's face it, the time was right. And Buster was ready for that fight with Tyson. He trained pretty good and it was his day, not Tyson's. That's the bottom line.
Okay. I got to ask you a question about Buster Douglas because I was hanging with him. I mean, I went and I interviewed him before the fight. People say to me, well, you guys got a 41 underdog. What are you doing? I go, he's fighting for the World Heavyweight Championship. He deserves some respect. So anyway, I interviewed him before the fight, interviewed him after the fight, went back to Columbus, Ohio, did a magazine spread for him, I think for a high school magazine or something like that. Anyway, the guy gained we had like five meals. Bro, Dave, we had breakfast. Breakfast at 9 o'clock. We had lunch at 11:30. Well, like snacks at 11:30. We had ribs and barbecue like about 1:30, and then we ate at 4:30, and then we ate again at 8:30 before he went home. That was a day with Buster Douglas. Like six. I kid you not. It was like six meals, and I'm like 145 pounds at the time. I'm saying to myself, what's wrong with this picture? He's a heavyweight champion of the world. He's eating himself out of a championship.
Well, bottom line, he did. To a good performance with Holyfield, that's it, with Tyson like he did, but maybe he lost a little bit out of Tiger, you know. When you're up for, what, $10 million a fight, and you know you're going to be set for the rest of your life, it kind of affects some people in the mind, and apparently he lost out of Tiger as he beat Tyson. He just didn't really care, just wanted to go in and take the money and run it look like, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it did. You know, speaking of money and fighters, Roberto Duran's ex-manager, Hector Martinez, tells me that it was the money that got Duran in bad spots. Of course, taking $8 million for that rematch against Sugar Ray Leonard in 6 weeks. He had 42 days to lose like almost 50 pounds. You know what I'm saying? And they knew, and they knew he couldn't do it and be healthy and be strong, but that was Leonard's edge going in.
That's a lot of weight to lose that quick. We all know you can't lose that kind of weight.
But Roberto,
it takes his toe on you, man.
Yeah, it takes his toe. Roberto would have cut off his leg to do that. So, you know, I knew George Foreman before the Olympics. I mean, I saw him in the gym, and then, you know, I saw him afterwards, and we sort of were San Francisco type of people out of Newman's gym and things like that. And at first, he was a bully. He was the roughest dude in the world. He used to beat up on guys like me, 160 pounds, and pound on guys in the gym in like 15-foot square rings at 160 pounds. No, it wasn't. When he lifted Joe Frazier off the ground, he used to lift guys off the ground all the time. He couldn't get sparring partners.
I can't believe it, man. George.
George was a brute back in those days.
He
was.
He knows all the tricks too.
Tell me about fighting. How do you prepare to fight George Foreman?
I had all planned. My whole strategy was make sure not stand in front of him because George does it hard. So I plan to stick him and move and more or less do the Ali stay away for a few rounds, see what kind of condition he was in. But unfortunately, he must have knew what I had planned the first round. He came at me the fucking haymaker from the floor, and I thought I was going to catch him on the left side and come back. I had all plans on kind of the right uppercut to the chin. And he came all the way around me and caught me right in his rear in the middle of the back, right on my spine above my rear end bone. And I went numb from the waist down. I just couldn't feel it. I mean, it was so crude, just a total haymaker punch with 300 pounds behind it, over 300 pounds he weighed. And he caught me. I went down on my knees, and the referee came over and started counting. And I asked him, is he going to warn me? Can't do it. He said, I can't do nothing. I lost the best part of my body. My head, I went up to George. I got up. I went right for him. Had him 5 or 6 good shots. The only mistake I did was back up. I should have kept on. I had him a couple good shots. I should have kept on him, just kept throwing punch until he dropped, because I wound up, he got this mean look on his face. Next thing I know, he came at me like a windmill. Mm-hmm. And all I know was there's no 3 knockdown rule in California. I hit the floor 4 times when they walked over to my corner and asked my corner man, a friend of mine who didn't know anything about boxing, what he wanted to do. And he was shaking like a leaf. He asked the guy who was helping him put the stew in between rounds from Foreman's corner what he should do. And the guy had a towel on his shoulder and thought, man, this guy, Jake, who can take a punch, he can hit too. I'm winning this right now while we got a chance. And one of George's guys threw the towel in over the ropes from my corner. And that's how the fight ended.
Wow, that's quite a story.
True story, man.
And that is quite a story. Of course, George Foreman becoming heavyweight champion, world sucker, and Michael Moore are in, letting Michael Moore think he keep doing the same thing over and over again. Moore got comfortable and got clipped. Isn't that the way it went?
I brought on my Facebook. I put a boxing picture. I don't know if you know, it's on Facebook page every day. I put Michael Moore on today, and I said, a great light heavyweight champion, but KO by George Foreman.
Yeah,
or
I know.
By George Foreman.
It's like, I think some comedian, I think Chris Rock said, what's he going to be famous for? Being knocked out by an old man. Oh, that was a little rough. Hey, but listen, Michael Moore, I hung around him when he was with Kronk and things like that. I knew a man who wrote well. He was a gun freak. He liked guns, man. And I don't like, right. I'm not a big gun guy. I'm an ex-cop. I don't like guns.
I think he had trouble, you know, Michael Moore's part in the, you know, don't you, Pedro?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he don't have alcohol very well, I don't think. He got crazy a few times, got in some trouble, I heard.
Nor do a lot of us. Did you get a chance to see that knockout of Dillian White about 2 weeks ago by Alexander Povetkin?
I missed it. Was it that?
Oh, check it out. Dave, I want you to go to YouTube and look that one up. It's worth watching. It's really worth watching. I mean, that was something. Heavyweight fights coming up. Of course, there really isn't any heavyweight fights because of the fact that boxing is sort of in limbo right now.
Boxing's really bad. You know, my buddy Mike Ross, my best friend, the boxing judge. You know Mike Ross.
Yeah.
He has been working hard at all, man. Boxing's kind of put on hold because of Corona.
Hey, watch the language, man. We're doing
live radio.
Dave. Come on.
I'm sorry, Pedro.
Dave Jacobs, our guest, goes for Dave Jacobs, the man that fought everybody. So, of all the guys that you fought then, I mean, you fought Tyson, you fought Foreman. Any of these guys scare the snot out of you? I mean, were you ever, like, shaken?
No, I was never shaken, but a few of them I knew when I went in the ring I was going to be in for a fight of my life. And, you know, I can't say my anxiety was high, but I never got scared. I got 2 fists like them, and I hit pretty hard. If I have a good day, I can, like, Razor Ruddock, you know, I beat Razor. He didn't think I had a chance, and he underestimated, he paid for it. That's what happens.
That's right.
So when someone estimates you, Pedro, it benefits you, right?
Yeah, and you know what? People have been underestimating people like you and me their entire lives, and that's where they come up short. David Jaco, what's the name of the book?
Spontaneous Palooka and Mr. Mom.
Spontaneous Palooka. I'm going to have to put a link up that on my Facebook page. Anyway,
a copy. I'll give you a copy, Pedro.
All right. I wish you the best. You and the family, stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll talk real soon, okay?
All right, Pedro. Thanks a lot, and you have a good day now.
The great Dave Jaco, folks, and what a personality he is. I mean, this is what boxing is. Boxing is not really all champions in guise of glory and this and that. These are the ham and eggers. These are the guys that, you know, with the hammers in their hands that work 40 hours a week at another job. And then, of course, they box on the weekend, or they train during the week, or they get a fight here and there, this and that. I mean, I didn't go into the money with Dave Jaco, but I'm sure he didn't get rich. Like he said, he never got a $1 million payday, but he fought a lot of $1 million fights. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and of course, our delayed broadcasts are always at Anchor.com, the Ring Talk Live Worldwide podcast channel. You are tuned to Ring Talk.
Come on, baby.
Decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Amazing that Frankie Edgar was able to recover from that at all. And he's got Maynard.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Something new from the boys from across the bay. Tower of Power, East Bay, of course, Godfathers of Soul. Check them out, towerofpower.com. Emilio's got, I think, two new albums the last couple of years, and both of them rock pretty good. So check them out, towerofpower.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, coming to you live on ESPN tonight, the UFC's Rock and Rollin' with the former Strike Force Heavyweight Grand Prix Champion. I think that's what title he held. Of course, he was a pretty bad dude in the Strike Force tournament. I'm talking about Alistair Overeem, of course, had mixed success moving over to the UFC, but he was a guy that went from like a skinny 205-pounder to like this bulking 260-pounder, and he did it like in the blink of an eye. I kid you not. So I've always thought that he was on Flintstone vitamins, and of course, then he failed that Flintstone vitamin test. Guy's had over 50 fights, and of course, he's over like 40 years old. So Alistair Overeem against Augusto Sakai tonight in the main event. That's on ESPN+. Plus. I'm talking about the app. Of course, Ovince St. Preux, a former challenger for John Jones. Of course, he has vacated the light heavyweight 205-pound championship, taking on Alonso Menfield. Michael Pereira taking on Zelim Imadev. And of course, there's all the back. There's one women's fight on the card. And, of course, women always rock when it comes to MMA, and you got to give it to them. It's not like a women's boxing match. And people say to me, oh, Pedro, how can you dog your own sport like you do? Well, women's boxing is sort of like it's terrible to watch. It's like, good Lord, I mean, people like throwing pillows at you because the gloves are too big. It's like women playing with a big basketball in the WNBA. They play with a smaller basketball. In baseball, they use smaller bats because, you know, they have less upper body strength and that kind of good stuff. So why do you have the same size gloves in boxing, male and female? It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And the powers that be in boxing, and I've talked to a few of them, when I say don't put lighter gloves on girls, they just look at me like I'm out of my mind, like I've smoked too much weed. I kid you not. And in the meantime, the sport just continues to falter. I mean, Clarissa Shields, do you really want to see her fight? She's got one knockout and like 13 or 14 wins. People want to see exclamation marks. People want to see things happen. And, you know, women's MMA, it delivers, no doubt about that. I think, you know, started off with Ronda Rousey. I mean, Ronda was doing her thing, and Ronda became hot, and then she sort of opened the door for other women to come in and make some money. I don't know if anybody's making any money in the UFC as far as women are concerned that Ronda was making in her heyday. But the bottom line is the UFC, slave performers, I've told you that in the past, they have to work for 8 to 12 cents, maybe 19 cents of the dollar now, according to Dana White. What I mean by that is for every dollar the UFC takes in, they only pay their fighters 8 to 12 cents, maybe 18 to 19 cents per a recent report. But the bottom line is they're vastly underpaid, and they're just hoes that are fighting. Basically, they are. They're hoes that are fighting. There's no other way to put that other than you're a hoe and you're fighting, because Dana calls you up on the phone and says, you have to fight. It isn't like you know, you've got an option. He just calls you up and says, you're going to fight this person. And even if it's a death match and it's probably going to be the end of your career, you've got to take that match. And see, I'm not into that. I'm sorry. I mean, yeah, you want the best fight and the best, but you don't want to put death match after death match, because I'll be saying it again, because you don't give guys or women the ability and the time to build up a legacy. They can't build up a legacy, therefore they're not going to make any money. And Dana White will say, oh, everybody gets a shot at the pay-per-view. Yeah, right, Dana. Come on, man. And then he hands out these punk-ass $40,000 bonuses afterwards, like he's God, this and that, man. I'm telling you, the world of MMA, I'm not saying that Dana hasn't done a lot for it. He's done a lot for the world of MMA, but I think he's more of an anchor now. He's more of a detriment than he is a plus. That's just the way I look at it. Anyway, coming up on the 12th, we've got a couple of chicks in the main event. When I say chicks, I don't mean that in a non-feminist point of view. I mean, I just, like, you know, I had a girl working for me a few years ago and doing a website, and of course I called her the fight chick, and she was a feminist from Harvard University. I'm talking about Frances Martell. She was the editor of the Harvard Independent. She didn't take any offense in that chick thing, so if she doesn't take any offense in being called the fight chick, I don't feel that anybody else should take any offense in me saying chicks. Anyway, Michelle Waterson and Angela Hill going to be the main event the 12th of September, of course, coming to you from the USC Apex Center in Las Vegas, Nevada on ESPN. So that's a female main event, and they always rock, no doubt about that. Kobe Covington, Donald Trump's favorite fighter, taking on the reluctant one, the former welterweight champion, Tyron Woodley. I mean, what happened in that last fight? Man, just sort of like pushed out, didn't throw a punch, didn't come to fight, can I say, against Kobe. Kobe may be a little limited. He may be not be the greatest guy in the entire world, in the world of the welterweights and all that, but he comes in shape and he comes to fight. And if Tyron doesn't pack his lunch fully, guess what? Kobe Covington will send him home a loser. The co-feature has got a heavyweight match. Cyril Gane taking on Shamil Abdul-Rah. Yeah, this something like that. Anyway, women's strawweight bout on the cow. Mackenzie Durham, she can fight, taking on Randa Markos. And of course, these girls always fight their hearts out. Got to give it to them. When's the last time you saw a women's MMA fight that sucked? You don't see it. It's like it doesn't take place. I've never seen one that's been pathetic. I've seen plenty of pathetic women's boxing matches. And listen, I'm a boxer. I'm a retired boxer. Boxing is my forte. It's what, you know, I won 4 Golden Glove championships. This is in my blood. I go, boy, and I see women doing it with these big fat gloves on. I say to myself, this is ugly. This isn't good. It isn't becoming of the women, because it takes away from their skill. If they've got skill level and they can throw punches with leverage on it, you can't throw with an 8 or a 10-ounce glove. You can't, and be a female. You just can't do that. Anyway, some other UFC fights coming up this year. It looks like Brian Ortega is going to take on the Korean Zombie. Remember Brian Ortega? Of course, he was a guy that I thought was headed for superstardom. I mean, he was a kid from East L.A. Beautiful face. I mean, oh, man, just like a Hollywood type of movie star. Then he got his ass whooped by Max Holloway. And when I say whooped, I mean like beaten and beaten and beaten and beaten and beaten and beaten. Can I keep going? How much time do I have? I mean, I can keep going on. That's how bad he got beat on. It was like it'll become 2 years, I believe this comes December, 2 years ago, that Ortega was beat on. It was the most brutal beating I think I've seen in a long, maybe one of the top 5 brutal beatings of all time as far as MMA is concerned. I mean, it was that bad. Of course, he's got a record of 14-1. He came in at 14-0. He hasn't fought since, and he's going to take on the Korean Zombie. I don't think this is a good fight for him. They put this fight together before. They wanted it to happen before, and I really don't think that... how can I put this? It's not the fight for Brian Ortega to come back after a 2-year layoff. It's just not. The Korean Zombie's hot right now. He can hit pretty hard. And, you know, you don't want to be in there with a guy that can hit really hard. You want to take a nice, easy fight to get back into things. Or maybe not an easy fight, but a fight that'll make you work. It'll make you work, but you can't get killed doing so. And, of course, the UFC and these death matches after death matches. I mean, the kid's got a beautiful face, or he did before that fight with Max Holloway. A pro since 2007. 2010, of course, at 17, man, he was a good athlete, no doubt about that. He was a boxer, and then people say to him, you know, we got to try this MMA stuff, and of course, he went into the world of MMA, and the rest is history. Of course, I thought he would be the world 145-pound champion, and I still think he would be the world 145-pound champion had they stopped that fight after the second round. That's how beat up he was after the second round, and they kept letting it go and letting it. Finally, it was stopped. I mean, I just couldn't, it was like, there was no sense in it. It's like, you know, this thing where the gladiators fought back in the days in the Roman Colosseum, where they fought to the death. Well, we don't need to see guys fight to the death. And I think the UFC is putting forth these fights that force guys to fight to the death in order to move on with death match after death match. And, like, I'm a fan of the UFC per se. I mean, I'm not against guys fighting, but I'm against guys getting brutalized, and I'm against guys being used, and that goes for women too. And back to getting paid. There's no union, no representation. You do what Master Dana says. And guess what? Master Dana is it. You don't want to do what Master Dana says, you're not fighting. And what happens? He'll do it like he did with Cristino Santos, or Chris Cyborg Santos, of course, the former women's world featherweight champion, undefeated for a long, long time. I think she lost her first pro fight, and then, of course, she got knocked out by Amanda Nunes real quick style about a year and a half ago. Now, she had one fight left on her contract after the Nunes fight, and Dana White conned her into taking a fight that she won, right? Once the fight was won, Dana said, I'm cutting you from the UFC. I don't want to do any business with you anymore. The bottom line is he set her up, made her take that last fight instead of evoking that immediate rematch and getting the rematch with Nunes that she wanted, that she was clamoring for, that Dana said she didn't want. She got this fight with another girl. Of course, she beat her, but for small change, and the Nunes fight, the rematch is not going to happen probably. That's a shame for Amanda Nunes and, of course, Chris Cyborg Santos as well. And, of course, you know, Dana's had his thing with Cyborg. I thought she was on steroids. She finally got caught by the California State Athletic Commission a few years ago. But I think Dana White said that she was something like, what did he call her? Call her Anderson Silva, Anderson Silva on steroids, or Anderson Silva in drag. That's what it was, Anderson Silva in drag. Speaking of a pioneer, talking about Holly Holm, of course, October 4th, she's coming back. She's going back to Dubai. Of course, going to do this on that Fight Island over there. But a woman, former world's bantamweight champion, talk about Holly Holm, 135 pounds, beat up Ronda Rousey in that big upset. Of course, the biggest upset in MMA women's history, no doubt about that. When she just smoked Ronda Rousey, went down to Australia, didn't have a chance. They didn't give her a prayer, and she licked Ronda like a stamp. I kid you not. Anyway, she's taking Irene Aldana, and that's going to go down, of course, in Dubai. That's October the 4th. The rest of the card they don't have together yet, but they are planning the rest of the year. Of course, your Korean Zombie, of course, and Brian Ortega, October 18th. That's going to be from Dubai. Khabib, yee. The world lightweight champion is a 155-pound title, yet he enters the octagon or the cage somewhere around 180 pounds. This is not fair. It's just not fair. But yet it's because he's Khabib. He lets it go. It's like people look the other way. I don't get this. Guys should not be able to gain that kind of weight. I mean, how am I going to beat a guy if I'm a welterweight and I know, I'm going to tell you, moving up from junior welterweight to welterweight, I got spanked. And I could beat good welterweights, but I couldn't beat great welterweights. You know what I'm trying to tell you? The size differential, the body mass. It was just the fact that they were just a little bit bigger, hit just a little bit harder, took a little bit better punch because they were a bigger person. I mean, it all boils down to size. I mean, size matters in two things. You know that. Pornography and combat sports. In combat sports, you shouldn't have to get into the octagon or the ring against a guy that's 25 or 30 pounds heavier than you. Now listen, in a boxing match, you might be able to get away with it. You might be able to pull it off in a boxing match because you can move around the guy in this one and not let his strength get involved. You know what I'm saying? Maybe offset his strength with speed, okay? But in an MMA fight, you got to get you on the ground. He's laying on the ground. And he's got 25 pounds more than you. He's 25 pounds heavier than you. What are you supposed to do? This is not fair. Anyway, bottom line is Khabib wants to take on GSP. That looks like the big fight for 2021. It won't be in front of a live gate, but it will be. Take that back. It won't be in front of a live gate over here. But it might be in front of a live gate over there. I'm talking about in Dubai. Anyway, October 25th, Khabib and Justin Gaethje are going to go for the lightweight championship. But Khabib is talking about ending his career in 2021 against the one, the only GSP, Georges St. Pierre. Of course, the Canadian icon, former welterweight champion. Of course, the guy, I didn't think he could beat Michael Bisping at middleweight. He beat Michael Bisping quite easily a couple of years ago. But now he's 40 years old. We've had him on the show in the past. We talk about coming back at the age of 40. He just doesn't really want to do it. But get this. I hear he's training every day. I mean, he's always been training. GSP is always training. But he's training like he's got a fight in store. So I think he's going to come back again. He's going to take this challenge and come back and try to fight Khabib at 170 pounds. That will be in 2021, probably in June 2021 if they get this right buildup. Will GSP have a tune-up fight? No tune-up fights in the UFC. That's the way it goes. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Nunes' hands are down. And she's walking Ronda down. She tags her again.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You know, just excited to be back. I wish we could do a fight every night. You know me, Pedro.
The great late Nick Charles, man, the CNN guy with all the hair, became the Showtime guy, my buddy. Tweeted me like 3 days before he died, talking about the fights he had watched. Tweeted me on a Sunday. I think he died on a Tuesday or Wednesday. But he was tweeting me on the fights that he watched the night before, still digging boxing all the way up to the end. Talk about Mr. CNN himself, Nick Charles. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, we come to you each and every Saturday and Sunday. Saturday for an hour at 11 a.m. Pacific time, live right here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network. I keep going and going and going. The same stations you're listening to right now, of course, have the Sunday show as well. Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, but Sunday show is 2 hours. 2 hours, of course, on Sunday from 11 a.m. Pacific time or 2 p.m. Eastern time. And we feature the retired HBO Godfather each and every Sunday. God bless him. We're talking about Larry Murch. So straight up, the Godfather will be in the house tomorrow night, tomorrow day, no doubt about that. Want to congratulate Daniel Dubois, a winner last week, being a guy that was undefeated, but he couldn't lick a stamp. He wet his tongue. Mr. Snyder's came in at 18-0. He left 18-1. Mr. Dubois, a pretty good fighter. As I said, Mr. Ramirez, very, very disappointing for the WBC championship and WBC and WBO championship, I think 140 pounds against Victor Postal. I was very, very disappointed. A majority decision winner, very, very disappointed in that. Tonight, of course, ESPN Plus has got it going on. The WBO 130-pound championship, James Herring, 21-2, been stopped once, 10 KOs, taking on Jonathan Oquendo of Puerto Rico, a Boricua, 31-6, been stopped a couple times, 19 KOs, of course, and you've got some other fights as well on television. Check out your TV guide, that's where it's happening. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide, check it, 35, make that 36, get this, in a week it'll be 37 years, the middle of September, we'll be celebrating 37 years of radio presence. What can I say other than I want to thank my producer, the great Scott Cuddy, for without him, I don't think I'd still be here. But I am here, rocking and rolling, of course, in my 37th year. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Don't forget, our podcasts are always at anchor.com. Ring Talk Live Worldwide at anchor.com. The Sunday edition, 11 a.m. Pacific time on these same channels. So next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect from the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.